The Sharpshooters, episode 67, May 6, 2006. Welcome, everybody, to the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
How long is the grand finale?
What the hell was the dance silence about? And where are the Sharpshooters?
I just felt like doing dance silence.
What?
I wanted the anticipation for it.
The anticipation? I was looking, what's the matter with you?
No, look, you know how in wrestling, when a champ always comes out, you know, like, late? I have to delay. I know I'm not a champ. I feel like doing it.
You're a bumbling idiot.
I just thought it was 5 seconds before you said it. I was like, hey, maybe I should just have something to wait.
So you want to decide to be a prima donna on the show?
Just had to do it.
You son of a gun. Anyway.
You're just mad you didn't think of anything like that.
Well, last week I did Booyah, but it got cut off because of audio problems. But besides that point.
You did?
You know what, Marcus? 68, I'm doing something. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing something.
As long as you're not in your underwear.
With that awful note out my mind, let's move on to the show. This is the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. For anybody who could be new, this is a podcast about wrestling. And first and foremost, we never really do this a lot, but I would like to send a big thanks out to all our listeners. I appreciate them being here.
Woo! Thank you.
Okay.
It's about time to send it out to the masses out there. Anyway, what we forgot to do.
No, before I even give off the website, since Marcus always, the Marcus people, believe it or not, he got prepared. So before I give off the website, Marcus needs to make a correction from last week about the Frapper map. Marcus, who joined our Frapple map last week?
Oh, Jesus. I wrote it on the road. Okay. Joe in Chester, England has joined the Frapper map. That was supposed to be on the Tuesday show, but I totally botched where he was from.
Might have got it right. But the point is that we got it right now. Thanks again, Joel, for joining the Frapper Map.
Also, shout outs to Amir. He wrote a review on iTunes.
Oh, thanks for the review.
You got 5 stars?
I have to go read the review. I have not read it, so I do not know.
It's a nice review.
Also, we'll talk about that when we get the listener feedback. But right now, let's get into the real show. Our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com.
Ooh.
Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com.
Yep.
Frapper Map, like we just mentioned. Podcast Alley, we don't care about, but if you want to, feel free. iTunes also, and don't forget, you want to leave us a voicemail, do it via Skype with the username The Sharpshooters, spell it like you see the show, or you can call the hotline, which is 310-928-6889. Remember, we love hearing from you.
By any chance, did you forget to get us out last week?
No. Marcus, why do you continue to look at me? Look at your mic.
The mic is here, but you're there. It's like, it's hard, man. I never studied in, like, radio values.
You got to understand that you cannot look at me when we're doing the mic. Because
maybe we set the mics up, like, if we had, like, a table.
But I don't want to look at you.
I don't want to look at you either.
I want to look at the notes and move on with the show. You're just staring at me. Looking at me like I'm a steak. Like I'm a $3.99 pizza buffet.
You're the one who's Mark Henry.
Anyway, moving on. Let's get with the first news stories. We have a very, very slow week in news. Some of this stuff could not even be considered news, but why not? Might as well, we didn't have news on Tuesday's show. Might as well throw a little something in here. You might want to pull the window up because probably that air is going to cost a mic. Maybe one day I should go buy the wind muffs. All right. So the first news story is ECW has some sightings. On the ECW website and also numerous other websites around the net, they have signed several names from the past, including the Sandman, Francine, Danny Doran, Tony, Mama Luke, Sabu, Jazz, Axel Rotten, Balls Mahoney, and C.W. Anderson.
Yes.
So pretty much ECW is coming back in full force.
They are loading up, it looks like. They are ready and willing to, you know, really accomplish what they're trying to do. I'm telling you, they get this TV deal, TNA's in trouble.
You think so?
I think they're in trouble.
You think ECW can be what destroys TNA?
Because, look, the X Division, if they can pull up the talent that they have. Well, I haven't seen CW Anderson wrestle in a while. Only seen him actually wrestle once.
Uh-huh.
But I liked what he could do. He was a good wrestler. But I don't. I think if they could just get a Saturday deal or something, because TNA just seemed like WCW with ECW fans.
That's true.
What it felt like. That's what it feels like to me.
And I even heard that Mari Tanaka is going to be doing it part time, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. Also, there's reports that New Jack has reportedly signed a contract with the ECW WWE brand. This is very interesting considering that everybody knows New Jack history and his circulating DVD of him, you know, stabbing the man. I have personally never seen a New Jack match. I just know that he's black and he's crazy.
I've seen New Jack matches.
I have never. But it's probably on my...
He's crazy.
Is it on my ECW, the DVD?
He has one.
Oh.
Anyway, also, another ECW news, which seems like this is the ECW week of the show, that they're coming reportedly close to getting a TV deal with the USA Network.
That's pretty cool. Like you said, they could be on TV. If they do get on TV, that could be serious competition for TNA.
Or it could be competition... I was a Birdman right here. It could be serious competition for WWE.
No, it will not be. WWE will never make ECW better than what you would call it.
It could be. You know, they'll probably tone it down. Oh, it's getting too good. I gotta, let me pick out some people in their roster or something.
Pretty much that's what's gonna happen. Also, moving on, speaking of TNA, there's reports that Jackie Gata and Charlie Haas are having their first baby, that she's pregnant. All I have to say is thank God that they haven't done anything with Jackie so she doesn't have to get in the ring.
Well, she gets slapped around by Gail Kim every now and then in the ring.
But I'm pretty sure she couldn't do the standard wrestling
thing. So are they just going to drop the storyline pretty much and let her go home and recuperate?
Well, the thing that I don't understand is that, remember, before she even got into this whole little flock, she was teasing, telling Raven, well, now Raven's back, and, you know, ain't nothing to be mentioned. I just don't see why they still prolong this storyline with her being punked around by Gail Kim.
It just seemed like it's going too long. I mean, I wasn't a fan of the storyline in the first place, but it has really outstayed its welcome. First, it was Jerry. It was about Jared or something. Now it's about Gail Kim, who was mad at Jared at one point, but now hates Jackie.
The part that I really hate is just when they hop in the ring for no good reason, and then it's the possibility that Jackie's going to cost them the match, they still bring her out there. So why would you bring somebody out there that can do some detriment to your team?
Yeah, and they have so much control over there, you can still bring her out there. She just can't do anything. You tell her to interfere in the other match. And is that tape really so bad?
I mean, everybody has sex.
If it's even sex.
I mean, hell.
Maybe it could be the concession of her seat or Charlie Hall's seat.
I just think it's ridiculous, and I can say that probably Jackie's Gator future with TNA could be considered bleak.
She's gonna stay.
I don't see, but
they don't want to reunite her and Charlie Haas.
Yeah, but what? She really has no purpose there. I mean, it's really bad.
They're trying to establish some type of women's division.
Well, back to Charlie Haas. Let's just move to WWE news now. Last news story is that apparently WWE has signed a midget wrestler called Short Stack. His current gimmick with NWA is that he's the world's most sexiest midget. He has already been on WWE television before. He was backstage on WWE Unlimited with Snitsky and Goldust, but it is reported that he will come in to play Finley's Lucky Leprechaun that I just don't know. All I have to say, if this is the evil midget, evil leprechaun, it could work.
But you also, as he said, it'd be great if Finley treats him like crap.
Josh. If he treats the leprechaun like crap, too. It's just that, because the thing is, Finley has to stay a bad guy.
Of course.
Finley as a face can never happen.
He can be the Irish guy. Irish guy.
That was
the worst Irish accent ever.
It was. So pretty much that does it for our news.
But let me comment on this little person, leprechaun character.
The floor is yours.
What will this accomplish? Is Philly like gonna get a string of bad luck? Is he like gonna lose in the King of the Ring to like Lashley or something? Which I can see happening. But and then the leprechaun comes out. I can help you. Hand me my pot of gold or something. I don't know.
Oh God, Marcus. On that note, we're gonna take a break and we'll be back with the TNA Impact Report. Welcome, everybody, to the TNA Impact Report. We just got through with our theme music. I hope everybody enjoyed the theme music, yeah. Even though they have new theme music that I refuse to change
it's pretty much the same.
It is, but...
I think that was just that 1 week. I don't think I heard it this week.
Well, anyway, let's get into Impact. I will try not to go on Christian too much, but I can make no promises.
Why do you have to do this every week?
Because he does not have his title, yet he is the champion, I think.
So what?
So anyway.
You make fun of when, like, Angle's got his belt, his medal stolen from Benoit.
But that's not being touted by the WWE as being something that they own. That's something that he earned. So we're not talking about that, because when I get to Christian, we will have plenty of time to rag on Christian. But now, it's time. How did Impact start off? It started off with JB, also known as Jeremy Barash, backstage with Jackie, Gail Kim, and America's Most Wanted. Barash catches up with Gail and Jackie, who are arguing like they always are. James Storm interrupts and says he is tired of this bickering. Gail needs to get it together. Then Harris looks at the camera, takes a swig of his beer, and tells AJ and Daniels to get ready. I might have got the names transposed. That might have been Storm that took the swig of the beer. I'm not really sure.
It was Storm who took the swig.
Okay, thank you.
And we can still use the word swig.
Because that's what he did. He took a swig. It was not a drink. Then they showed clips from last week between...
He finished the bottle, actually.
Yeah, but it wasn't much in the bottle. We don't know if it was anything in that bottle. Yeah, we didn't see the bottle before he drank. We didn't see... Soda. It's probably IBC. Then they showed clips from last week between Abyss and Christian and the Deal or No Deal segment between Sting and Jarrett. Like, I really want to see that.
I mean, the Deal or No Deal is really ripping off NBC. And I'm shocked NBC ain't charged in with Javi Mandel personally and said, this is BS.
This is Bobby's World. Anyway, that was bad.
Matt, you don't need to do any Bobby's World personally because you suck at Bobby's World. Why are we bringing up these old kids shows?
Because you brought up Javi Mandel. Bobby's World, man. That's like C-Bear and Jamal.
Enough with these old vintage Fox cartoons, okay?
Anyway, moving on to the first match of the night. It's America's Most Wanted versus AJ Styles and the Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels, who looked like he was graduating tonight.
He just graduated from high school.
Had the cap and gown and everything.
He was like, he might as well came out with the Macho Man Steve.
There's only one word I can say to that. You my guy.
That's all you can say.
That's all you
what
can say.
That was the worst outfit he's been wearing.
Makes the outfit even worse is that he comes out, he does his finger thing. That I don't know, is he a photographer? He's like framing the pictures, or what is he exactly doing?
No, he just shouldn't be a good guy. And him and AJ should have separate interests. He can't come out his music.
Exactly. It both were
it doesn't hood. Work. He's like, I'm Fallen Angel, but my music's. It's AJ's music, which is like happy music.
So how did this match go? AMW jumps AJ and Daniels, but Daniels lands a double clothesline off the top rope. AJ then lands a drop kick on Harris and then tags in Daniels. Daniel lands a chest cracker on Harris, but Storm attacks him from behind, and they take control of the match. Harris landed a leapfrog over Storm onto Harris. America's Most Wanted followed that with an atomic drop and a Russian leg sweep. Daniels caught Harris with an open hand palm thrust and tagged in AJ, who landed his flying forearm. AJ applies a torture rack backbreaker on Storm, and Daniel landed his suicide dive onto Harris. Gail Kim jumps off the top rope onto AJ, who attempted the Styles Clash, but Storm caught him with the super kick, and Gail flips him with the Hurricanrana. This is how the match ends. AMW wins this match.
Yes, and this match... Is it me, or does this match just seem like I've seen it before?
You've seen it before because it happened about 3 months ago.
It just seems like this match has been done before. I just felt like I knew that it just didn't work. It was boring. It didn't have anything behind it.
The point is because the thing is you have not established AJ and Christopher Daniels as a tag team. Maybe before they got this so-called title shot, maybe they should have had a tag team match against somebody else. It didn't have to be a proven team, but how about we pick on Diamonds in the Rough? Show what AJ and, you know, Christopher Daniels can do together before they get a title shot. Because that's just saying, like, if you're a big star, let's say Samoa Joe, you know what? I want the tag team belt. You, Johnny Devine, you're my partner. Let's go get the belt. You know?
Why would he grab Johnny
Devine? I can't think of nobody else. But you know what I mean. It's just like.
Hey, Johnny Devine, I need you as my partner. Okay, Samoa.
I'm sorry, but I'm just saying that's what it just looked like. AJ and Christopher Daniels like, you know what? You're big, I'm big. Let's get together. Let's get a tag team title shot. And TNA let that happen.
And Lord, I didn't like AJ losing to Gail Kim's Hurricanrana. How weak does he look after that?
It was a nice Hurricanrana.
It was a barely effective Hurricanrana, but I don't think it should have been enough.
But then my point
is, they could have gave it a death.
Then I bring up another point to this. Jackie Gator was out there, but she didn't do nothing. So,
no.
I mean, she didn't even try to cost AMW the match like she normally does.
No, I think she grabbed James Ford or Chris Harris' legs in the beginning.
Overall, this match really set the tone for TNA that it was gonna be a dangerous night.
It just seemed basic and nothing special whatsoever about it. It didn't seem like it was for the tag team title.
No, it did not.
And aren't you sick of seeing AMW never finishing a match clean? When's the last time they have done the death sentence?
I mean, yes, it's like, I don't know what it is with TNA, but all of a sudden, they are in the WCW mode, pretty much. This is that we're not going to have any clean finishes. We're not going to let our tag team champs be established because we have no tag teams for them to beat. We're just going to continue to put our single stars together, make them teams, make them lose. It just they have no direct direction. Only story that they're sure about what they're doing is between Jarrett and Sting.
Which is the WCW reunion show.
Exactly.
But anyway, what couldn't they just put the Dudleys here? I'm not the big Dudleys guy. Couldn't they fit them against AMW right now? I mean, you got the run, and you could prevent him from interfering with Gail Kim. And you got Devon and Bubba, and they could battle Chris Harris. I think that would work a lot better than just throwing random teams together.
Well, we'll stop with the bitching and moaning about the tag team. Let's move on to the next match. And it's time for World X Cup. And we have in Team Canada, which is Johnny Devine and Eric Young, versus Team Mexico, that's Shocker and Magno. Now, how this match go, Magno landed a jumping snapmare on Devine, followed by a hip toss and an arm-twisted arm drag from the top rope. Devine spits on Magno, and what annoyed me about this entire match at the very early on, Mark, so I'll let you comment before I finish, is that the announcers ignored what was going on
the
entire beginning. They were talking over storylines and this and that. I had no idea who Magno was. I had no idea who Shocker was until, like, almost the end of the match.
Well, we've seen some of Shocker on the DVD.
You've seen some of Shocker.
No, you've seen the match?
I don't remember Shocker.
It was the Gauntlet match.
I don't remember Shocker.
No, what? He was in the cage, man.
Exactly.
It's just, they gave no overview of who these guys really were.
But they established Raven, and it was...
Yeah, didn't Raven come out before?
We'll get to there. So, Devine lands a snap suplex on Magno, but he drop kicks him. Shocker comes in and landed a power slam and a flipping headbutt. Shocker caught Devine with a knee hurricanrana and followed that with a twisting elbow drop. Team Mexico landed a double drop kick and then followed them off the ring by jumping out of the ring. Devine is whipped into Alex Shelley, who was on the side of the apron. This distracted Devine, and Shocker rolled him up for the victory. The more is shown also with Team Canada hollering at Alex Shelley. First of all, Alex Shelley, I can see where they're trying to set up another feud between USA and Canada, because why was Shelley out there?
No, he's part of Team. Always out there filming, and he is friends with Team Canada.
But he's on Team USA.
Yes, and that's the conflict. But the problem with this match is that it just didn't seem like X Division. It didn't have that speed, the pizzazz, and nice high spots. And when you see the nice high spot, they show Shocker doing something stupid.
First of all, I didn't have enough background of competitors in the ring. They were so busy selling the storylines of other wrestlers like Jarrett and Sting and all that. I could have appreciated a little background on Johnny Devine.
Well, they said he's former TNA guy.
Yes, he's a former, but a little bit, what about what did he do? Why did he leave? Stuff like that. How about a little bit of information on Shocker and Magno besides what Mexico has to offer?
Yeah, Mexico.
I mean, it just really flawed. And then after this, they directly followed it, showing that this match had no importance because Larry Zbyszko is joined at the announce table, and he's making an announcement. He says that because he's on probation, the probation stuff is nonsense, and this has affected his health because he was talking horse. He announced a rematch at Sacrifice between America's Most Wanted, AJ Styles, and Christopher Daniels, with Kim and Gata being banned from the ringside. So once again, Team 3D is not getting this illustrious tag team title shot that they were coveted before, and it's AJ and Christopher Daniels. And also, let me throw this out before you go. Raven then chases off Larry Zbyszko with blue hair and fat.
Yeah,
go
ahead, Marcus. Yeah, he was very out of shape, man. He looked awful. Raven just, he looks like the blue meanie. But anyway, My whole comment, where's the Dudleys go from here now? Now that Daniels and AJ fight AMD for the titles. I'm assuming Daniels and AJ probably will win. But where's the Dudleys go from here? Who do they have to feud? The Team Canada feud is over.
But you cannot let AJ and Christopher Daniels win because it just... They're not a real tag team. They are singles wrestlers who decided to team up and get a title shot. They should not even have this title shot for the simple fact that they are X Division wrestlers. Are they going away from the X Division? Is because of this World X Cup, the X Division title is not really important no more? I mean, what really is going on? What is the deal?
Yeah, who is challenging Joe for that title right now?
Nobody, because of next week happen.
Yes, yes.
So pretty much, apparently, because of the World X Cup, the whole X Division thing is dead.
It just seems like it, and I mean, I don't like this teaming AJ and Daniels. I never did. They were feuding like a month ago.
They've
been feuding for years.
It's like they are a bad married couple. One minute they love each other, the next minute they hate each other. It's like, I want to be your friend. I hate you. I want to be your friend. It's like... It's so tired because everybody knows what this is going to end up being, that AJ and Christopher Daniels are going to end up hating each other and they're going to end up finding another Iron Man match or something like that. That's what's just going to happen.
Yeah, probably so.
All right, moving on, because I didn't mention the word deal. It is now time for Deal or No Deal.
Woo!
Jared and Steiner come out to the ring, followed by Sting with Mike in tow. Sting says he knows the deal. He has only one choice for them tonight. Does Jared want to have it?
Go ahead. Not comment on this. Sting is the Crow, right?
Sting is the Crow.
He's dressing like the Crow.
He's too damn happy.
He's too damn happy. It doesn't work for me. Go back to your yellow tights and your pink makeup and the bleach blonde hair and cut it short.
Well, Marcus, you have been clamoring for this comeback even before we knew that he was going to be nice Sting.
Yeah. I know, but it just doesn't work.
It doesn't work because
he looks stupid.
The whole thing about the black and white Sting was that he was concerned about WCW
and what
NWO was doing to WCW. It was not about him making Deal or No Deal.
Change the paint every now and then. Maybe wear blue paint.
All right, so Jared questions Sting and says he's sick and tired of the mind games, and at Sacrifice, he better bring his partner because he has the best partner with Scott Steiner. Oh, my God.
No.
Steiner. So,
that's the worst thing you can say.
So pretty much Sting says, make the choice now, Jared. Steiner grabs Jared and says, take the deal. And Jared refuses, and he even asks the crowd for some help. The crowd was so not into the segment. Sting then says that since Jared has not made the decision, it is now Sting's choice to select his own partner. Then he announces from behind the booth, here comes Rick Steiner, who comes out in a tight leather jacket and some purple tights.
Hey,
now, I ask the question, was Scott Steiner saying, take this deal because Rick called him saying, I'm going to be behind number three.
Because
Scott Steiner was so sure to take this.
Well, Scott wanted to take it last week, too. Because you know, Scott Steiner's character right now is the guy, I can beat anybody. And Jared said he's the best partner. Is Jared feeling a little insecure about himself that he cannot handle Sting and whoever random old WCW watch out he can bring out?
Now, I have to say some other two out of the three dogs that they brought out from the grave, Rick Steiner and Buff Bagwell, look exactly the same as they did when they wrestled. Rick Steiner, I don't know, maybe the jacket was hiding a lot of stuff, but I can still see him walking out there.
Well, Rick Steiner now was in really any type of great shape.
He wasn't.
He was in wrestling shape, as I like to call it.
So next week, Sting will unveil who his partner is.
Yes, and personally, it just seems like WCW, don't bring in these
This
guys.
Is so you WCW.
You bring in somebody with like, oh, he could have had Hill, that would have been cred.
I swear, in the little bit that I have watched WCW, I remember that they did this angle with the NWO. Are you NWO? Who's behind this tunnel? Stuff like that. It's been done before. And, like, we'll get into our listener comments because one of our listeners made an excellent comment. I'm not going to take his shine away right now.
You always take people's
shine. No, I'm not taking the shine away. All right, so moving on to the next segment. It's now time for the Alex Shelley interview with Kevin Nash. He talks about his heart attack in October. He brings out the greatest chart ever.
This chart makes more sense to me.
It is like a piece of paper, like one of those little things that you use in school, and he has like
a whiteboard.
Looked like he, no, it wasn't even a whiteboard. It was paper. It was a little paper easel thing, right? Yeah. Looked like he took a blue highlighter, and he made the chart of individual wrestlers showing their the productivity of them as being the champ. Yeah. He had Hogan. Hogan had a nice spike. He had Hart. Then he had himself.
And his spike didn't ellipse the paper.
It almost went over the paper. That's because he combined something.
He combined his WWF run as champion and his WCW run as champion with the NWO alphabet.
As being Diesel. Then after that, it was Austin who had a little one.
No, it was like...
No, it was no, like it no, was ha- it was half of that. Kevin Nash. But then you had The Rock who had the little one.
The Rock had the smallest one of all.
This was crazy.
That was the funniest thing ever because it's somewhat not 100% believable that he has the largest bike, but if you combine them, it may do something. NWO was some damage.
He says he's one of the best workers and has the best mic skills guys in the business. He called the X Division filler matches. And then after this, what I have to say, you would have to put Kevin Nash up there with some of the best big man workers. I mean, I still think that the best big man worker of all time will always have to be The Undertaker.
Probably so.
It's no way.
Or Great Khali. I'm just playing.
But Kevin Nash, though, as Diesel, as he is part of some of the best matches in history and some of the best storylines. I think the only problem with Kevin Nash is that he started too late in his career. Before he got big, he was too old. And now he's injury prone.
Yeah, and Kevin Nash is great on the mic. He's always great talking.
And apparently, when I read on reports on the net, that apparently a feud between him and AJ Styles is going to be set up. So it looks like that Kevin Nash is going to be making an epic return to the ring.
I wouldn't mind that, Ed. It's just funny how he's like, oh, TNA called his interview, which is so BS.
But Marcus, I'm just going to ask you a question. Right. If Kevin Nash is coming back, tell me you wouldn't prefer having him come back to WWE and be part of this new resurgence of Degeneration X.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I mean, just think if, you know, they say we put it back together and we have somebody and no other than Kevin Nash, the former Click member, comes out on stage with them. I mean, Kevin Nash doesn't have to wrestle, but just by him being there. I mean,
that would be cool.
Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and Kevin Nash. And you know what? To throw it on top, if you want to bring out the drunk Scott Hall,
You know he's going to end up in a DUI 2 days later and a member.
All right, hold on, Marcus.
It didn't last for him in the NWO. And it didn't last for... Hello. God, he's on a phone.
All right, after that interruption. No,
it's stopped. It's just a lunch and dance spot.
No, they heard me on the phone. They did. So anyway, back to Kevin Nash showing up with DX. You can't bring back Scott Hall.
No, you can't.
You can't bring back the drunk.
Remember, they tried to bring back the NWO. He got like a DUI the next day.
But still, it's just entertaining that I would just love to see DX get reunited and Kevin Nash walk out of the stage.
That
would
have been cool, but it's nice what they're doing with Kevin Nash. I don't mind him fighting.
I have to say this real quick. Of the whole TNA night, this was probably the most entertaining segment.
This was the best segment, too, because the chart was everything.
But then I was offended by Mike Tenay actually bashing everything that Kevin Nash had to say about
that
this.
Is ridiculous.
Who the hell is Mike Tenay to say that that chart was inaccurate?
Because if you combine both of his runs, you get that spike. And I honestly think that works.
All right, now it's time for the main event night. It is now Alex Shelley versus Christian, who is the champion, I think. But I'm not sure because of some things that he have said, and then also because he doesn't have a belt. But he might be the champion, but who knows? So Christian, minus the title.
Wait a minute. This is a Christian Cage match.
Yes.
Rare on Impact.
Indeed. Christian,
it's like his first Impact match.
It's like when he debuted. He didn't have a title then.
Enough with that. Why do you make fun of him losing the title?
He hasn't lost the title. He won the match, Marcus.
I know.
He won the match.
Look, it's not that he got the title stolen, Eric. It's that he sent Rhino to go get it.
Christian, minus the title, beats Alex Shelley up early in the match with punches. He lands a clothesline and then drops Shelley on the tie rope and lands an inverted DDT on the side of the apron. He sat Shelley in a chair and mocked Shelley on the microphone, kicked him in the head, and did the commercial promo. He bought TNA into commercial. You can't do that. He was trying to be Carlito, trying to be The Rock, and it just didn't go off.
Did this?
Yes, he did. Middle of the ring when he was wrestling, he picked up the mic and was talking while he was beating up his opponent in the ring, Marcus.
That was a mic. This is the headset and mic.
All right, so Shelly thumbs Christian in the eye and then slams his head into the turnbuckle, followed by a drop kick. He then suicides out onto Christian, who was outside of the ring. Christian escapes a submission hold by Shelly, catches him with a spin kick. Christian escapes a suplex and snaps the back of Shelly's head on the top rope. He landed a crossbody block off the top rope. Shelly catches him with multiple drop kicks to the head, but Christian uppercuts him. Christian escapes the slice of bread and then plants the unprettier on Shelly to score the victory over him. Christian hops on the mic and says Abyss was 10 days away from a beating and he will regain the NWA title.
Now, that was the problem, right?
Yes, there. He said he will regain it. So, did he lose the belt?
No.
So, is this true thing about what James Mitchell says, that possession of the title is 9/10 of being a champion? Because if this is the case, if I'm Jeff Jarrett, when I finish dealing with Sting, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to steal the belt from Christian, and I'm the champion once again.
He doesn't even have to finish dealing with Sting. Just take it from Abyss. My problem is 10 days.
10 days.
The pay-per-view came too fast. That's another thing. But 10 days away from getting your title. Go in the back and get your damn title. Like he said earlier, he says most prestigious title in wrestling history. You care about this belt more than anything whatsoever. You gotta go back there. You know damn well Bitch is somewhere in this building. You hunt him down and get your title.
You know what? If you need to, you bring Rhino for support. Or you bring the truth. The truth ain't doing nothing.
I'll wait 10 days to get it.
What the hell?
If you lose.
So after that, after, you know, he cuts his promo.
Oh, by the way, let me comment. We gotta comment on this match.
No, hold on.
Very basic match. Nothing really special.
Yeah, that's why I didn't comment on it. More important is what happened after the match. James Mitchell and Abyss are shown backstage with belts and chairs, and they're in the boiler room. And he says if Christian wants the belt, he should show up next week and take it. Once again, they are mocking this man.
This is what they did last time.
Do you realize that Abyss and James Mitchell has buried Christian? First, they beat the man up in his own house, threw him in the pool, and he took the steps down and beat him up some more.
He drowned him.
They invaded his wife's privacy. They have stolen the title from him, and now they're dangling like a piece of meat, saying, come get the title. And then they even beat up Christian Flunky when he tried to get the belt back for him. James Mitchell and Abyss is the crap.
They are working. They're trying to do something to get Christian to come at Abyss. Hell no, but Christian won't buy into this bait.
And the bad part about this, once again,
call him out every week.
Christian is not even pissed about it. I'm going to get my title in 10 days. I will regain. Be pissed about it. These people tried to kill you. He harassed your wife. They took your title.
Choked you out with the chain.
They choked you out with a chain, man. What are you doing? Stop being a bitch and man up. Okay.
Are you done bashing the NWA champion?
I'm done.
The co-NWA champion of the world, Christian Cage.
I'm done. Marcus, do you have any more comments about this
segment? All I gotta say is they challenge him every week. Apparently, he don't want none of Abyss. I never thought anybody would be ducking Abyss. But Christian looks like he's ducking. Oh, no, he did give him the title shot. Or did Abyss give him the title shot?
Apparently, it looks like the rematch is concerned by Abyss because he's the champion.
And so all the pressure's on Christian?
Apparently, he's the challenger in the match, I think.
That doesn't matter.
Anyway.
Is this a ladder match?
I don't know what it is. It's a regular match, Marcus.
Just weapons around.
I don't even think weapons around. I think it's just a regular match. I think we won't find out to next week exactly what type of stipulations are in this match. No, but as of right now, I think it's just a regular match.
No, it's medals and chains and everything else. Full metal, whatever it's called.
Oh, full metal mayhem. Yes, indeed. So anyway, that does it for TNA. I'm going to say it right now. It sucked. It's S-U-C-K. Sucked.
It was just boring.
Kevin Nash, chart, only thing I can find enjoyable.
That was the most memorable moment probably over the wrestling week for me.
I would love if he would have had a PowerPoint presentation. That would be hilarious, too.
He should bring that out next time.
So anyway, we're going to take
part two. You also got to say, there will be a part two.
But nothing can be as good as part one because of the chart, man.
He may put on a PowerPoint presentation.
We'll see.
He may show highlights of his career.
I hope so. He has pictures. All right, so we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with the SmackDown report.
Tonight, who knows I've got this birthday, and I will.
it's time for all our friends in the SmackDown review. I'm Eric. He is what I know. Shut up.
Don't do it.
I did.
Don't sing, please.
I'm not singing. I was humming.
That wasn't humming. You were doing lyrics.
I don't even sing, man.
Let's just get to the SmackDown.
It's time for the SmackDown report.
Also known as the best show of the week, always. It seems like that. The best brand, I guess.
They opened the show with highlights from last week with the match between Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio. They put emphasis on the fact of Mark Henry injuring Angle and putting him out of commission. Now, the show starts off. Rey Mysterio come out to the ring to begin the show. Mysterio said, "You know, every morning that I wake up, I realize that being world champion is a gift. And let me be the one to tell you that I'm loving every minute of it. Last week, I faced Kurt Angle, the wrestling machine, the Olympic gold medalist. And I gotta tell you, when Kurt put me in the ankle lock and I was getting ready to tap out, I knew it was all over." But then he was interrupted by JBL's music.
Now, let me say something. I'm so glad JBL interrupted him. He sounded like a delusional crazy man who thinks he has the title and doesn't. Seriously, he doesn't seem like somebody with a mind. Like, he's all there. But he's the champ.
What is annoying me about Rey Mysterio, three times or four times he's been on TV, he has said the same thing, that he counts his blessings for being a champion. And you know,
he should have lost.
He should have all that good
he
stuff.
Should be losing. He should be. He's nothing. I'm a piece of crap. I'm a little turd who shouldn't really hold the belt. I should just hand it over to JBL or anybody else whenever I have to get challenged for it.
All right. Now, before I move on, I must put this disclaimer on. The views and opinions expressed by JBL are the views of his alone. We do not support or condone any of his views that we are about to read. Anyway, so
why did you have to do that?
I don't know. I just feel like doing that. Because of this, JBL came out and said, "Congratulations, Ray. It's not over yet, amigo. But I don't think you need Miss Cleo to know when it's over. Because at Judgment Day, you, me, amigo, have the number one contender, the only wrestling god, the epitome of true of the true American hero. And you, the epitome of a masked illegal immigrant."
Oh, not personally. JBL is really still delivering a great poem. He's in the bias of delivering another great poem.
No, he's not finished yet.
I know he isn't finished, but he's right here.
He's in
you
the
moment. You know you respect him so, because he not only said he was a wrestling guy, he threw in the great American hero.
With his American flag jacket.
Yes.
He then told Ray that there was a place in his America for illegals. He talked about the strikes that happened last week with the immigrants, and he pointed out that they shut down schools and businesses. He called Eddie a real champion and said that the fans do not give a crap about Ray because they do not even chant his name. Normally at this moment, you would think that the fans would start chanting Ray's name. They did not,
Nobody
Marcus.
Nobody wants him to be champion. And when JBL got in the ring, they start chanting Eddie.
Yes.
And then, that's what prompted this statement you just said.
Then JBL goes back to why he feels illegal immigrants are needed in his America because of economics 101. He needs them for rich people like him. JBL said he respects the Hispanic culture. After all, there's a saying, isn't there? Something like, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, man. It's the size of the fight in the dog. Mysterio asks, did you just call my people dogs? JBL said, you are not a dog, Ray. You're a Mexican.
That's the worst statement I heard. That was awful.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, snap.
It was like, oh, snaps. And he continues.
Right there, I wouldn't let him finish if I was Ray. If I was super crazy, I wouldn't let him finish anything else.
And Mexican have problem called machismo. JBL said Red dedicated the match to Eddie, and Eddie's wife raised his hand at WrestleMania, and that's called a sympathy card. Vato, and you make me sick. He said Ray will have something in common with Eddie when he whips his ass because he will have taken a championship from both of them. Ray responded by saying he would fight anyone. JBL questioned that, and Ray said, did I stutter? JBL said, anybody, anytime. Well, you are a man of your word. I have an opponent for you tonight. And Mark Henry walked out. First of all, great promo by Rey Mysterio.
What?
I mean, by JBL. Rey Mysterio did what he had to do.
Lita said that was bad. Anyway, it was just the worst. I mean, is this even bad writing or bad promo delivery? I mean, this was Bray's comebacks and statements were terrible.
They were past terrible. They were boring. Luckily, JBL carried the promo side of it.
It's like me being on the court with Kobe Bryant. He's going to beat me in a promo.
Marcus, you can get beat by Smush Parker.
I know, but I'm just comparing JBL to like...
You can get beat by David Ewing. I'm just going to give you a Clipper reference.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. But overall, it's a good promo. Racist
the
comments.
NBA players anyway.
It's like pretty much JBL is rehashing the Eddie Guerrero storyline he had with him, but he's making it fresh this time again. It's like the same thing.
It's the same storyline pretty much. Just time he's just not at the border.
And he's doing it differently.
Not really.
All right.
He's just saying it differently.
So, moving on to the first match of the night. Excuse me.
Was this match that bad or something? No.
My throat is tired. It's Booker T versus Gunner Scott. Charmel introduces Booker. When Booker came out, he sat in the throne and posed for the crowd. Cole pointed out that Booker had a free pass because of the injury to Kurt Angle, and he's in the finals. His opponent, Gunner Scott, walked out, and in men enters, they aired the footage from last about a couple of weeks ago where Gunner earned a victory over Booker. Booker and Gunner tied up with each other early on in the match. They exchanged chops with each other. Booker missed a high kick, and Gunner landed a forearm. He followed that with a headbutt and a snap suplex. Booker finally landed his back kick and attempted a scoop slam, but Gunner landed on his feet and attempted to pin Booker like he did when he first won. Booker kicked out. Charmel grabbed Gunner's leg, and this allowed Booker to land his super kicks, which was followed by the scissor kick to score the victory for Booker T. After the match, Booker climbed on the announce table and thanked everyone. He said it was a damn shame Kurt Angle got hurt because he was going to beat Angle down just as well. He said it did not matter who he faced in the finals, Benoit or Finley, he would beat them down with one hand tied behind his back. Booker said all of his subjects need to get used to bowing out to Booker T. Charmel yelled at all hail Booker T.
King Booker.
Pretty much, I have to say this was a very good opening match. It was nice to see that, you know, a main eventer, I would call Booker T a main event, can open up a show and still come off with some credibility. And Gunner Scott still has some credibility.
Yeah, because he lost to Booker T and Charmel cheated, as always. When's the last time Booker won a clean match?
Booker cannot win clean matches.
He's worse than AMW, but at least he gets his finish.
But as long as Charmel is with Booker T, he will never have that. It goes back to when he didn't know that she was cheating for him.
Out of curiosity, though, when is she going to get banned from ringside?
You cannot ban the prince. I mean, pretty much when Booker T wins as King of the Ring, you can't. It's the King of the Queen, dog. You cannot ban him from ringside.
I don't think he's winning.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, also, I'm really disappointed that they did forfeit the little tournament. I wanted to see an Angle Booker T match. When Angle isn't crazy and chasing after Charmel for really no reason.
But, I mean, there's the possibility that this Angle and Booker T match was never supposed to take place anyways for the simple fact of, you know, Angle nursing his injuries. Yeah, yeah. But who are we to decide? Overall, very good opening match. I would have to say the match between Booker T and Gunner Scott was better than any match I got on TNA.
Nah. This match was okay. And
what? In my opinion, it was better than any match I got on TNA.
What? Come on. The, The damn first match. It wasn't that. I don't know. It's a tie. It's a tie.
Indeed. So
don't do that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Marcus, that you couldn't even make your point.
The X Cup match was equal.
Okay.
Okay.
It couldn't beat the chart, though. Eminem versus Paul London and Brian Kendrick for the tag team championship. London and Kendrick come out to the ring with their normal entrance. All of a sudden, Eminem's music hit, but only Melina walks out down to the ring. She distracts London and Kendrick with her entrance, and then Mercury and Nitro, fur coat and all, attacks London and Kendrick from behind with the titles. They Melina signals for multiple snapshots. They do that. They put London and Kendrick out of, you know,
and the match commission. Never began, and I was a little disappointed.
Well,
but it's clever strategy.
But pretty much you knew the match never began, and they pointed that out, which means that the match will happen at Judgment Day, where the tag team championship should be defended at.
And probably change hands, but
it might change hands.
I also see that, what was I going to say? About, you know, like Melina was walking out. I seen them coming from behind a mile away.
I knew that was coming. When I saw Melina by herself, I was like, you know what? they're about to be attacked.
I didn't know it was going to not call have a match. I thought maybe there may be a disqualification in the middle of a match or something. Didn't think the titles were really going to change here, but, you know.
But at this point, though, they did announce that Melina will be facing Jillian Hall at Judgment Day in the match.
Because their cat fight they had on
exactly
last week, I believe.
So after this, you have anything else to say, or can we move on?
Now we can move on.
All right, we get the rebirth of Tatanka. They aired a video of Tatanka going through the rite of purification with the Lakota tribe. This is a ceremony done by the Lakota, and it's one of their seven holy practices. Pretty much, this thing is supposed to cure all his sins and rebirth him and bring him back to light. I guess they're really trying to get over Tatanka.
They are trying to give Tatanka a taste of the United States title.
They're trying to market.
They're going to give him a hell of a run, and I don't want to see it.
Because, as you said before in a prior episode,
Tatanka can't get hit with the belt.
No, Tatanka can never see gold.
He can never see gold or get hit with the belt.
All right.
Can't eat a chocolate coin.
All right, so we move back. That after they show that video, we were backstage with Daivari in his pimped-out suit.
By the way, the video will continue next week. And how long are these videos going to continue?
I'm assuming seven videos.
Seven?
I don't know.
I mean, because it just seems long enough. And like you brought up when we was watching this, is this like, is the tribe really, are they like sell out Indians or something?
I hope this is really true and they're not disrespecting the Native American culture. But because I have no history of this, I do not know.
What do you mean true? You mean like...
I hope they really do this, and he's really going through this, and they're not just staging this.
Nah, they're staging it.
Marcus, don't doubt what people really do.
They
so moving
it.
On, backstage. Now we get to Daivari, who's backstage. He is interrupted by Teddy Long. He wants to know where the Great Khali was. And he said, as he said it, the Great Khali showed up. Long announced that the Undertaker had challenged him to a match at Judgment Day, and he had a contract for him to sign. Khali yelled and screamed, and then he signed the contract.
He said, damn right, I was signed, I think.
It was
I got a signature right here.
Oh, yeah. I thought maybe as Daivari, being the manager for the Great Khali, you would think that he would sign the contract for him, but
because,
I guess not.
I mean, the Great Khali don't look like a guy who can read. Nothing personal on the guy. It's just his character. It's like somebody's like, hey, I found this guy somewhere, and I don't know if he has any intelligence at all.
Exactly.
But now, he just like, I signed here, and I'm dating. What my initials here? Great Khali, right here.
Now it's time for the last King of the Ring qualifying match before the semifinals.
Really,
it's Finley versus Chris Benoit. Finley and Benoit exchange holds with each other early in the match. They mat wrestle early in the match until they stare eye to eye with each other. Finley landed a clothesline and then a headbutt. Benoit eventually escaped Finley off and applied a single leg lock. Finley eventually escaped by reaching the ropes. Finley thumbed Benoit in the eye and then threw him into the ring post. Finley put Benoit's head under the apron and began to beat him. Finley went back and was working over Benoit's arm. They beat each other up some more and the top of Benoit's head started to bleed. Benoit tried to apply the cross face, but Finley escaped. Finley swung at Benoit but missed and Benoit landed a German and chopped Finley's chest until he landed outside of the ring. Finley in a rage threw chairs into the ring and went as they went to commercial break. During a break, Benoit dropkicked Finley in the legs and when he was trying to get into the ring, Finley hit his head on the steel steps. Benoit landed a snap suplex and some chops but could not get a pin. Finley went Benoit into the turnbuckle. Finley applied a chin lock and Benoit fought out but Finley caught him with a clothesline and applied the choke again. Finley whipped Benoit into the corner and charged after him, but Benoit moved, causing Finley to run shoulder first into the post. Benoit then landed his triple Germans and attempted the diving headbutt. Finley moved out of the way of the headbutt and went for the shillelagh, but Benoit sent him over the top rope. Benoit grabbed the shillelagh, but the ref took it away. As the ref was disposing the shillelagh, Finley hit Benoit with the chair in the throat and applied his finishing maneuver for the victory. Marcus, I'll let you go ahead because I have to take a breath because I just read all that.
This was a long match. Went through. I thought it wasn't even going to go through a commercial at times, but it did. It then came back. It was very technical, amateur styled, rough. I'm going to beat your ass. No, you're going to beat mine.
We're going to wrestle and hold.
We're going to wrestle in the holes. And I chop you every now and then. You punch me. It was brutal.
I was going to say, every move that Benoit and Finley did look like it hurt. When Benoit chopped Finley, it was like, ow. When Finley punched Benoit, it was like, oh. It was just, it was like, ooh and ah. All, it was like, ah.
My favorite part, though, I liked it to stare down after the submission holds. It added a lot of tension to it, like, oh, I better need all that. And then how it led into a chop and Germans and painful.
But what concerned me about this match is I didn't feel that the fans got into the match as much as they should have. I think you have to be a true diehard wrestling fan that appreciate Matt wrestling, because I think they were more, they wanted the high spots. Like when they did the stare down, I heard a couple of boos and I was like, why are they booing? They just did some chain wrestling on the mat. This is what wrestling used to be. And they incorporated the high spots. I thought it was a very good match.
I love it.
And if I still had the match of the week, this would have been my match of the week.
We still had it. That folded somewhere months ago, seems. And it just seemed that match would be match of the week because there was nothing wrong with it. I enjoyed it. It was just two old guys going at it, people.
It was just like two old guys. I hate you. You hate me. You owe me money. I'm going to beat your ass. No, I'm beating yours first.
And let me comment on that, something else. Has anybody won their King of the Ring match clean? Really? With a pin other than Kurt Angle?
I don't know.
Because Benoit, I think him and Charmel cheated Matt Hardy. Finley used the chair to hit Benoit in the throat. Mark Henry passed out. And lastly.
I think the only thing, what I think I find interesting about this is what they're going to do with Benoit now. Because he's finally going to get a well-deserved break. I think he's been 4 weeks straight that he has wrestled on SmackDown in the main wrestling match, you know, of the first hour. So he finally gets a break. I can see him giving rub off to Gunnar Scott.
I can see them actually becoming a tag team.
I don't want to see that. Because then I have the whole AJ Christopher Daniels thing together.
No, but come on. They're the same person.
But I can see Benoit becoming more of a tutor to this man.
I can see them becoming a tag team and a tutor mentor type of guy. In which they team up and maybe they feud with Eminem.
Okay.
I feel that would work best for them. And also, when did he bleed at? Was it when he had the apron over his head?
I think it when he was, no, it was before then. It was like a chin lock or something. It's like when Finley did some head bumps or something. I don't know.
But that was childish when he did the apron and popped it back on his throat.
That was awful.
That was childish.
So now we're moving on to the next match.
Great match.
We get the Gemini with Simon Dean making versus making a rare SmackDown appearance, Scotty Too Hotty and Funaki.
This isn't the rare SmackDown appearance for Scotty Too Hotty and Funaki. They've been there every week.
In the match, though.
No, they've been there every week.
Actually, this match.
It's a rare Gemini appearance,
The Gemini dominated Funaki early in the match. Funaki tagged him to Scotty, who also got his butt whipped. The Gemini eventually landed their finisher maneuver called the crash diet for the victory. What I thought this was, I thought it was a decent match for what it was. That's what I'm about to call it. Uh-huh. I said it was very good filler. It's what SmackDown doesn't have.
Raw
doesn't have. It's a match after you get the epic Benoit versus Finley match. You have a good filler match.
Man, this wasn't that good.
It showed that the Gemini had. For two big guys, they move pretty well, and they did some pretty impressive moves. I mean, whenever they get into the tag team title picture, they can give whoever they fight a run for the money.
Which is either Lundgren or Kendrick, or whoever has the title at the current time. But I don't know, something about the Gemini doesn't work for me.
Because they look
maybe they don't get enough promo time, maybe because they're twins.
Maybe because they look like the Bashams. No, you can find Jake, he has a little bit of white sticking out his boot.
You don't know if that's Jake or Jesse?
That's Jake.
You sure it's not Jesse?
It's Jake.
And what about Jack?
I don't know.
Taz brought up Jack.
It doesn't matter.
He was like, there's another one. It's like the other one. It's like, so Jack, he's bigger than
we
him.
Move backstage where Bobby Lashley walks into Booker and Charmel's locker room. Charmel yells and covers herself up, and Booker comes running out of the shower
in a towel
and his head wrapped up. Bobby said that Booker forgot about him when he was talking about the King of the Ring. Booker yelled at Bobby and called him a tough kid, but he was not a match for Booker T, the five-time WCW champion. He said it doesn't really matter because Bobby will lose next week anyway.
Which means he's going to win.
Bobby said he will defeat Finley next week and he will beat Booker T. And he added, now can you dig that sucker? Thought it was a decent promo by Lashley.
I guess this is the best he could do.
He said what he needed to say.
Somewhat.
And it was there.
I see no reason to him to barge into Booker T's locker room like that. Booker T, every time he's in the shower or something, trying to enjoy the rest of the night, here comes some freak show like Bobby Lashley and Boogeyman, always walking into his locker room. And by the way, what's with after you face the Boogeyman and lose, you face Bobby Lashley?
Because you got to move up the ranks. You go
moving up or down?
You go from the greenest of the greenest to the green. And then you just move up and move up and move up.
So, because JBL, as we know, feuded with the Boogeyman, was scared to death, lost to the Boogeyman. JBL feuds with Bobby Lashley. After that, he beats Bobby Lashley. Now, is it the same trend going to follow when Booker T defeats Lashley?
I'm not really sure.
Because it seems like the Finley-Lashley match isn't really going to be...
It's pretty much the same. We're going to have the whole ass-kicking match between Finley and Lashley next week. I'm pretty sure, 100%, that Lashley will win, considering that you have to have a bad guy versus Booker T. As for the King of the Ring final, it's kind of skeptical. I don't know who's going to win. Are they going to give the rub to the new up-and-coming Lashley, make him the King of the Ring, or make Booker T? I think you have to make Booker T the King of the Ring.
I think King Booker as the King of the Ring
is what's entertaining.
It's because, one, he's King Booker. Two, Lashley wouldn't make a good king. Three, Charmel's going to interfere. That's the only reason. That's the number one reason. And you can see a King Booker. And in the beginning of the King of the Ring, I didn't know who was going to win. But as soon as Angle was gone, Benoit's now gone. It's clearly you can see who's going to win this. And I think it's Booker T.
Which is kind of crazy.
How is that kind of crazy?
No, it's just kind of crazy that Bobby Lashley, coming from, you know, the green guy, not really having much moves now, he has a possibility to win the King of the Ring.
That's not crazy if you write it as a storyline.
Whatever. Moving on to the next match of the night, we have Kid Cash versus Super Crazy versus Nuzio.
Yes!
The winner of the match got a shot at Gregory Helms.
Yes!
Cash and Nuzio jump crazy, but he landed a springboard missile dropkick on Nuzio. Cash attempted a back suplex on Crazy, but he landed on his feet and caught Cash with another dropkick. Nuzio gave Crazy the Sicilian slice. Cash and Nuzio decided to team up against Crazy again. But he just backdropped him out of the ring. He then laid a springboard moonsault off the top rope onto them on the outside. Unfortunately, this match started off with great energy. I was getting into it. Then all of a sudden, it was interrupted by the great Kai Lee. He hits. He walks down to the ring. He destroys Vito and the rest of the cruiserweight.
Now, when did Vito get down there?
I don't know.
What does Vito use? He's supposed to be a bodyguard. Hit Kali in the nuts before he gets to Nuzio. Or warn Nuzio.
I just felt that they ruined a great match. And it's like, where are they going with the Cruiserweights again? One minute, the Cruiser was a high commodity. Now,
then Greg broke his nose.
Now they're back down to the minor leagues.
Yeah,
I mean, how can you promote the great Kali, guy who can't even talk or wrestle,
over
Super Crazy, who can wrestle?
He has some moves, so he can throw Dizzy over the top rope and let him fall on his ass again. Does that seem like the trend lately?
Kentucky Derby.
I saw?
No.
Brother Derek gonna win.
Anyway.
Member of Team 3D. Brother Derek.
Oh, now I finally get what you're talking about.
Yes.
All right.
Anyway, what are we talking about?
We're the Great Khali.
The Great Khali, and I was disappointed. It was like, oh, Triple Threat Cruiser. The Cruiserweights are getting more shy. This is nice. Let them go out there and do what they can do. And then the Great Khali destroys it.
Well, now it's time.
No reason to hate the Great Khali.
Now it's time for the main event. Rey Mysterio versus Mark Henry. JBL does commentary on the match, so that means that this match is not going to be as bad as it could be. The match starts off like every other Mark Henry match, with him trying to prove he is powerful. Mysterio baseball slides JBL over the announce table, but this allows Henry to gain control of the match. JBL came with a great line that Mark Henry is eating like he's at a $3.99 pizza buffet. JBL followed that up with some more eating jokes about Mark Henry eating Rey Mysterio. He's like, he can eat what he wants, even if he want to eat Rey up if he wanted to. The match ended by Mark Henry missing a charge on Rey. Rey landed a springboard seated seaton. Rey went to the top rope and landed a big splash. Henry got up with Rey and looked like he was about to land a black hole slam, but Rey landed a DDT. He followed that with the 619, but he went for a crossbody. Henry caught him and slammed him down to score the victory. After the match, Henry beat Rey Mysterio and dragged him to the top of the stage. He was going to do a splash on Rey, but JBL stopped him and said, "You can't destroy him, because if he does, there will be none left for JBL." So after JBL talked him down by saying that he will be the first one that he will face once JBL won the title, Henry got down. JBL said that he went back to Rey, "Hey, amigo, hey, amigo, mm-hmm. I have news for you that next week you will face the great Khali. Overall, I thought this was a good match, a good main event. I mean, once again, even though nobody likes Mark Henry,
he can have a good match against Rey Mysterio.
He's having good. He actually has a pretty decent match against Rey Mysterio and Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle matches are done.
I was going to talk about him hurting people because that was a theme of our email. Yeah. I'll save those comments from when we get to Lisa's feedback.
And also, one thing, I don't like seeing Rey Mysterio got beat pretty much twice.
Yeah, first of all,
back-to-back weeks.
This is almost as bad as having your title taken away from you. You got squashed. No, because he's still the champion.
No, but look.
I still think they should have had
Kurt Angle pretty much because he said he almost tapped until Mark Henry hit Kurt Angle in the back of the head. Then, this week, he lost to a damn power slam.
I was upset because I really thought JBL should have interfered somehow.
Yeah. And then you can have Mark Henry do his crazy antics of, I'm going to cheese to do the frog splash from up there and destroy every bone and raise body and injure everybody. My question.
But I think having a clean finish really hurt him. I don't know of getting your title taken away from you is worse or losing the title cleanly to Mark Henry. I don't know.
I can see Gray losing his title at Judgment Day. I can see that being the end. JBL comes up, finishes him off, and takes his title away at Judgment Day.
Well, because the simple fact is that I still think that RVD probably is going to face JBL.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, besides that.
Also, I give Mark Henry credit for fighting Ray. That seems like the only guy he can really have a good match with.
You know what? I give Mark Henry credit more than he is a better above average worker than what he was when he first started. He has made a proven.
Yeah, he's made a proven.
There's no reason he should be challenging for the heavyweight title, but as for the U.S. heavyweight champion, I would see no beef with that, personally.
It only seems like the only person who can have a good match is Rey Mysterio. Those are the only matches I'm ever intrigued about Mark Henry.
Alright.
And JBL commentary was excellent.
So overall, SmackDown was another good show.
It was alright. It was nothing special. Other than the Philly Benoit match, and it was a good show.
Exactly, Marcus.
I was thinking about it.
Yeah, compared to the other things that we had got subdued to this week, it was a very good show. Now they're showing the jockeys backstage warming up. They're really building this up. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with a jam-packed edition of Listener Feedback. We'll see you guys then.
Hey Sharpshooters, this is Omar. I'm recording this Saturday morning. Hope my email gets through for the show. I had a pretty good Cinco de Mayo. Hope you guys did too. Anyways, on to Joy Styles. As far as he goes, I'm pretty happy he said what he said. I too am sick of a lot of things in the WWE. I'm sick of a champion who acts like Bart Simpson. And yet he tries to come off as a thug, calling himself a thug. I'm sick of an old man acting like he can go up to all the divas and grope them, and acting like he thinks he's a force against God. The storyline ain't even good to begin with, so it's kind of lame. I'm tired of seeing a championship belt that looks like a freaking joke. And I pretty much haven't been a fan of sports entertainment for quite a while. The storyline just sucks. Usually when I turn on WWE, it's because I want to see some wrestling. So I look at guys like Benoit and Angle on SmackDown doing a hell of a job. But Raw, there's nothing much for me to like other than Shelton Benjamin, Rob Van Dam, Edge, and Lita's boobs. Anyways, so I really hope ECW takes off in the right way. Although I'm pretty sure WWE is going to screw that up. But, I look forward to the day when it's WWE versus ECW because I totally align myself with the Extreme. By the way, I just finished watching Chris Benoit versus Fit Finley. Great match. That's what I'm talking about right there. Anyway, talk to you guys later. Keep up the good work.
We'll be right back.
Omar for that comment right there. He did such great production on that. We decided to make that the intro to our listener feedback.
Where's the, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
No, it doesn't need that.
I love that.
Well, he's not being a champ, but Omar, what you said is right. Raw has become a joke, from Vince McMahon teasing with God to, like you said, John Cena looking like Bart Simpson, yep, to like that. When we watch wrestling,
and the belt,
we watch it for wrestling. The storylines are second. On Raw, it seems to me that they're making the storylines priority and the matches second.
And with that, the storylines suck. I mean, when's the last time Raw has had a good storyline? Other than, it seems like, the written Joey Styles storyline of him leaving, that he written himself. And this mold up of D-Generation X, it seems like, which they probably may box.
Indeed. I don't think they can box Generation X, because I'm pretty sure that Shawn Michaels and Triple H, they are powers, so they can control. They can overwrite the creative team.
They may be writing this themselves.
Yeah,
you know?
Because I remember at one point that Triple H was on the committee. And plus, his wife is on the committee.
Yes,
and come on.
The creative team just sucks, though.
So once again, Omar, thanks for the comment. Everything that you said was on point, and I'm glad that you appreciate wrestling. Like, because you would have been one of the few people, like me and Marcus Will, with the Benoit and Finley match in a crowd cheering, since nobody else seemed to got that where they're at.
That was that UFC type without
the punching. According to the net, it's that MMA. And actually, believe it or not, your email came right when we got to the listener feedback section when we was recording this show.
Yep, right.
So you made it just in time.
Yep. And happy Cinco de Mayo to everybody.
Yes.
Including you, Omar.
I didn't do anything for Cinco de Mayo. Eric was not invited to any party.
We need a black drinking day.
Whatever. Black History Month. We got a whole month, man. We got a whole month. We got a whole month.
The drink?
I don't know. All right. So let's get into our first email. The first email we received this week is from Amir. He says, "Hey, what's up, sharpshooters? I would just like to say the show is great. I just wanted to share my predictions with the storylines in professional wrestling right now. I think Triple H and Shawn Michaels will feud with Mr. McMahon, and that's what would form DX. And I think John Cena will be in DX, but they would need a tag team for DX. It would be cool if Carlito was in DX. Lots of laughs. I don't know what they're going to do with Joey Styles, but I have lost some respect for him, though. I wonder if they're going to do the ECW invasion thing again this year. And also, it doesn't seem like Rob Van Dam would challenge Rey Mysterio for the belt, because it seems like he still is in a feud with Shelton Benjamin. And one more thing. I'm not the biggest John Cena fan, but I like him better earlier in his career and when he had more mic time, and he didn't wear that damn hustle loyalty respect shirt all the time, and he wore more jerseys and fitted hats like he used to. Well, that's all I have to say, so keep up the good work, sharpshooters."
You want to go?
Go ahead, you go first.
That seems like the perspective of everybody of John Cena, that everybody liked him more when he did wear the throwback jerseys.
When he had the throwback jerseys, because at that point, I felt he had personality. He wore a throwback jersey, wore different hats, he didn't wear the same thing all the time.
Yeah, not the cheap hustle loyalty respect, the army hat or whatever kind of hat that is. That's all BS.
Pretty much seemed like to me what John Cena has become is more of a product whore. He's trying to sell his products. He's like a walking billboard. His armbands, his chains, mm-hmm, his shirt, his hat. Come back to the old John Cena when you came in there with the throwback. Wherever city you were in, you had that throwback jersey for the town's athlete.
Or an opposite team if you're a bad guy.
Yes. I mean, like, I remember when he was in Boston, had the Larry Bird jersey on. When he was in Chicago, wasn't it a Walter Payton jersey on?
Yeah,
it was like...
In Cleveland, Jim Brown jersey.
It gave yourself some personality. Now you're just a joke.
Yeah, it just seems like, I'm angry. He's kind of like in the Christian mode, in which they just come out and they just say they're champion. And they do nothing that...
And also, Amir, I have to disagree. John Cena and DX would not really work for me.
No. Carlito and DX would work for me.
I don't see Carlito and DX either.
I can see Carlito being the young guy, the third member in there, because it has to be at least three, I think. And I think Carlito would be the perfect person, because Carlito is a degenerate.
And once again, I don't think RVD is challenging Ray. I'm telling you, I think he's challenging JBL. I think that's the only one that makes sense.
I don't know. I think it's going to be Cena.
Ah.
I think that you got to turn. You either going to turn Cena heel, because EC Philly, ECW in the ballroom are going to destroy John Cena. Everybody hates him.
Mark, you just want to see John Cena get booed. That's all you want to see.
And Rob Van Dam will get the ultimate cheers.
Why do you get the kicks out of C. John Cena?
No, it's Bob
Marcus. 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 It's an ECW crowd. Doesn't matter who RVD fights. RVD will be cheered like a madman.
Yeah, he is, be a Marcus,
he is ECW through and through. Just admit it. You're not there to see RVD get cheered. You just want to hear John Cena get booed out the building. No. Tell me the truth. That is what this is about, Marcus. Tell me the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
I was waiting for that.
Anyway, that was the worst Jack Nicholson impersonation ever. Anyway, first, RVD beat anybody. Of course, he's going to get cheered. But not only will he get cheered by ECW fans, but by sports entertainment fans for the hatred for your boy John Cena.
But it doesn't matter. They're at an ECW venue.
I know, but
everybody's in there as ECW.
But aren't you going to stand up and cheer to see John Cena? Or you like him, so.
I have no issues with John Cena. His character needs to be reworked.
Most people, most wrestling fans will stand up and cheer like, yes, it's a new age of wrestling. No more John Cena's champion.
No,
same thing as what Edge
because
did.
The thing is Rob Van Dam ECW or is he WWE? Which one would
he's
he be?
Be transitional champion.
I don't know. So moving on to our next email, we got an email from Eric. Not myself, but there is another Eric out there. He says, what up, Eric and Marcus? My name is Eric also. I have been listening to your show for a couple of months now, and I wanted to respond. The show is great. I think Cena show lose his title soon.
It should.
Yeah. Triple H is my boy. I think at ECW One Night Stand, RVD should challenge Ray for the World Heavyweight title and then win it in WWE. RVD could have all the titles like the old days. Keep up the good work, and thanks. First of all, I appreciate the email, Eric. I don't think that RVD is going to have the IC title much longer. No. I think he's going to lose it even next week or in the coming weeks. Probably not to show, but maybe to a Carlito or something like that.
Maybe
to
Haas. Maybe Haas.
Maybe to, you know, and set up the feud with that.
Because the human show, I think it's going to be like a fatal four-way ladder match or something. At like, what's the next big thing? SummerSlam?
Mm-hmm.
And at there, and then that's probably where he'll lose. No, One Night Stands, I think, is the next big pay-per-view.
Yeah, the One Night Stand.
So, he's going to lose it probably before then. In, the coming weeks, he'll lose
I wouldn't be surprised if he loses next week if there's a rematch between those two next week. And somehow
I can't see them winning the tag titles and holding on belt.
Okay. So, thanks.
No one can actually see his tag champions for real. Triple H and Shawn Michaels. I can honestly see them becoming tag champions and defeating the Spirit Squad because they're both pissed at Big Man and he gives them some type of match or something.
What's sad that it's such a true possibility.
Anyways, the same thing else.
But once again, no, that was pretty much
it. It was pretty short.
Thanks
for listening.
I can put, thanks for listening for a month. We're glad that you finally stepped up to the plate and sent us an email. And yes, we do agree with you that Cena should lose his title soon.
It's time for him to lose, just like everybody knows this time. Like Floyd said, we don't want to see Cena in the main event at the next WrestleMania defending his title against Triple H again.
Exactly. All right, so moving on, let's change up a little bit so I can take a break from reading. We received an audio comment. This one comes from Wes. So, Wes, here it goes. Your time to shine.
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys? Always wanted to say this. Finally, the West has come back to the Sharpshooters. Hey, guys, this is Wes in Baltimore. You know, I guess a little TNA first. I think that Christian actually needs a solid opponent. I don't see Abyss as winning, you know, against Christian in any kind of match, whether it's a regular match or a TLCC match or a Full Metal match or whatever. I do like the steal your belt idea just because, you know, you don't see it happening a whole lot. The only thing, I think there was a good idea having Rhino go out there against Christian, but Christian actually should have came out and while Rhino was fighting Abyss, he should have, you know, took the belt back from, I guess, James Mitchell, and he should have did it that way and, you know, just using Rhino as a distraction. But, you know, it didn't work out that way, so hey. Actually, another thing about TNA, Raven looked really, really bad. I mean, he's kind of fat and out of shape, and I think that's just horrible. I mean, you kind of hyped him up, you know, when he left, and now you're hyping him up bringing him back, but, you know, he still looks bad, you know. I think the best he looked when he was in WCW, you know, when he was in the flop. So, yeah, he just looks really bad. And Lex Luger, I mean, he looks really bad, too. He came out there. He wasn't smiling. He wasn't doing nothing like that. I actually think that the Lex Express probably in the Smithsonian right now. Well, on the Raw, I didn't see Backlash. But as for Raw Monday night, well, you know, I'm just tired of seeing Kane coming out here, pimping this movie on May 19th. Oh, I guess I shouldn't have said that. Actually, man, he's probably worse than like MC Hammer back in the day, you know, just selling out to the system. Still hate John Cena. Actually, Edge should win. You know, just give the championship to the Rated R Superstar. Just beat down John Cena. Nobody wants to see John Cena. When I'm playing a video game, I just want to beat John Cena down. So, you know, nobody likes me anymore. And Shawn Michaels and Triple H, I think they're going to reform DX probably like around SummerSlam. I think they're just going to tease it all the way up to SummerSlam. So, that's all I had to say. And, still looking for Monty Brown, in the Serengeti.
Like the sound clip said, Wes was back in the building.
West. You got to call him the West.
So anyway, what's up? Anyway, okay.
What are you doing?
I don't know. As he said, Christian needs a better opponent. Actually, I think Christian just needs to get his edge back. I just think it's like, with me, Christian seems like he's afraid of events. Like, with the whole Sin and Rhino, the whole, I'm not going to get my title back into the pay-per-view.
Well, he's supposed to be afraid of Abyss. He's Mankind and Kane.
If you're the champion, you fear no one.
Yeah, sometimes.
You fear no one.
John Cena or Rey Mysterio.
You also commented on Raven and Lex Luger looking bad. Lex Luger looked awful.
Lex Luger looked like he could have died on his way down that ramp.
And I think also with Raven, the reason why he looks awful is that because... I mean, he's not going to never be in the shape like he was in ECW, but he's coming out in a trash bag with blue hair. I mean, he's wearing a shiny suit. He needs to go back to the cutoff jeans with the uneven boot and a t-shirt.
Raven looks like I said earlier, he looks like the Blue Meanie. Luger looks like he's dying. They look horrible. Man, those two guys.
He also, you said.
A bad description for what wrestlers will look like late in their career.
You also says you're tired of Kane. I'm tired of Kane, too. I'm going to hate May 19th.
Once May 19th is, I'm not going to hate it. I'm going to praise it. Because as soon as that day is over, we no longer have to get boggled down with this piss-poor storyline of him voices about May 19th.
And also, Edge needing the title. That sounds nice, because when Edge was the champion, I did enjoy that. Also, you comment on, in the video game, Mike Marcus, anytime you see Cena in a match, you feel that you need to beat him down directly.
That's personally, I don't think Cena has ever won a match. In this,
he has, because I was Cena before.
You won it with Cena?
Yes, I did. Well, I gave you the F you.
Well, it's hard for Cena, pretty much. When I play against Cena, it's very hard for me to win because he gets my best.
It's a jumping.
He gets an ass whooping.
An
he
ass
gets
whooping. An ass
it's
whooping.
The hatred for Cena.
He gets you can't see Cena win the match in SmackDown versus Raw 2006.
As long as he's last for me, it's about a minute 30.
Man.
If it's just like a straight up
match. I just realized, with my new PlayStation, we could actually have an online competition.
That's true. Wow. But we suck. We don't suck. I'm great in the game.
Anyway, but that's beside the point. So, once again, Wes. Oh, he also ended by saying DX, he feels that they'll be there at SummerSlam.
SummerSlam?
I think it might be before then.
I think SummerSlam will be a nice day to reunite. It's the big pay-per-view. I think SummerSlam will be a nice day. But I think the story will mold until... SummerSlam.
So, Wes, once again, thanks for the voicemail. Mm-hmm. We received an email from Josh. You know, he pointed out some stuff about DX. Apparently, at some of the arenas around, like the Charlotte Bobcats Arena, has posted an article that says the Judgment Day pay-per-view reads World Wrestling Entertainment Vengeance will show the return of D-Generation X. DX is back. Now, they're advertising this for the Judgment Day pay-per-view. I mean...
That's what's weird about that, that's a SmackDown pay-per-view.
Yeah, so SmackDown pay-per-view.
But would that
No, actually, SmackDown? I think he made a mistake. It's the Avengers pay-per-view. My bad. Okay. So, this is right after ECW, Vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is going to be interesting.
That would be interesting indeed, because I can see it happening then, because it is Vengeance. Shawn Michaels and Triple H getting vengeance on McMahon. That would make sense as DX. XX. I don't know how to do that. I think that would be a good day. But I feel SummerSlam should be the stage. I just feel it's a bigger stage.
Well, no. I think why you don't want to do it on SummerSlam, and I'll put it this way. SummerSlam is a joint production. You want to do it in your production, so your production gets the full focus.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why it'd be done on Vengeance instead of doing it on SummerSlam.
That is true.
But Josh, thanks for the insight. He also announces that for the Raw that's in Anaheim that I could not get tickets for, but apparently they released more tickets for, there will be a triple threat cage match between Edge, John Cena, and Triple H. So pretty much they're going to fight again.
I don't know. I don't know if that could happen if you think about it. Because does that say May 8th? That's this Monday.
Oh, they're in Anaheim.
Yeah. And that can't happen.
Why?
Because Edge is fighting Foley.
Oh, well then, dark matches, Marcus. Dark matches, you never know. So anyway, thanks, Josh. Josh, thanks for the information. We received the email from Manny in the UK.
Umaga!
Well, that's, he says, what's up, guys? Then he goes, Umaga.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Can't believe you went old school last week. Power Rangers was gangsta back in the day. So gangsta, I'm considering actually naming my son Megazord. Oh,
God. You can't do that. Don't do it.
Hey, what was the dude name in the head?
Gotan?
No, Zordon. I'm naming my child Zordon. He going Megazord. And when I told my...
Miami Alpha 5.
Oh. and when I told my girlfriend my plans to name my future son, that, let's just say, what she said would get you the explicit tag. Christian.
Megazord? Wouldn't that be the coolest name ever, though? Oh, Megazord's here? He'd be like, yes.
All right. He says he has a message for Christian. He said, Christian Cage, if you're listening, I got a plan to get your title belt back. I'll keep it simple. Phase one, lure Abyss to a hardware store. Phase two, while he's distracted looking at the chains and the thumbtacks, think like Crash Holly and grab and run away with the NWA title.
Or 1, 2, 3, yeah.
Just like Crash run away with the hardcore title. Phase three, while on the run, get in the car. If not, run where there's stairs. However, jump down them. As it will save time, as the monster visits safety first and walks down the stairs. But Christian, you better watch out, because if you don't snatch the belt quick enough, I'm going to take it and I'm going to fly back to the UK parading your title, because that's how I roll.
Yes, and he will sit right up probably after Manny.
The great line, you know, Abyss takes safety first.
Well, he does. He just saw him in the pool like that.
Hold on. He has more. Do you think Kane will be on SmackDown on May 19th, as May 19th is a Friday? Hope I didn't say May 19th too much, as Kane might come after me and damage my eye. Reports on the missing person, Monty Brown. The Apple Man has been recuperating in the Serengeti, having blown out his knee after Destination X.
Did he?
I don't know.
I don't know this fact, but hey.
Hey, why not?
Why not? He could be anywhere.
Impact, why in the hell is Daniels acting like AJ's bitch? Coming out to AJ's music. There is way too much focus on TNA Golden Boy AJ Styles. Enough is enough. It's time for a change. AMW have had those titles since October and haven't done anything. And how come James Storm is allowed to drink on the job? Damn, that spin and torture rack slam was crazy. And so was Gail Kim snap her corona. I think Gail was actually destroyed Spike Dudley. Oh, my brother.
Testify!
When I heard Sensei speak, it sounded like an Oriental martial arts film dubbed in English.
Well, I think that's what he's going for.
Shockers. Wrestler style reminds me a lot of Super Crazy. I like how he acted when Shelly stuck a camera in his face, as if Shelly was some form of government official asking for his papers.
That's awful.
Is it me, or has Raven been hitting the Simon system? Jarrett must be blind if he thinks Big Papa is the best in the business. And did I just hear Nash say that X Division is filler? What giant fool. But he had the chart,
he had,
man.
That chart.
He might have some stuff that makes some sense.
Yes, he might have fundamentals of the X Division. Like, oh, you see, Jarrett match was after it, and it was like that much, but there was that match that was short, and the X Division was like, there.
Now I ask you, this was Christian going to TNA. A good move? He is a champ, but where is his belt? Therefore, he is a chump of the week.
I agree. He's the biggest.
Global Impact is watching 30 minutes of WWE. Before we finish with his email, me and Marcus did sit down. We did watch Global Impact. It was okay. I had an issue with it, though. They showed video from the house show in Detroit, but they showed no highlight. All we hear was, this is awesome for the crowd. We didn't know what the hell was going
on. But I know some old junk goes into an arsenal submission moves, which look better than the ones he did on Daniel that time, because they look like it made more sense. Like, oh, he can handle everything. I put him in the crossface.
So pretty much, if you don't have enough TNA fix, go tune into Global Impact.
I think you tune in to see that recent one, just to see the Samoa Joe and AJ's house show match, the glimmers of it. That we don't get to see. Just to be
and a DVD will suck because it's only three divas. Yeah. Well, all right, yeah. So we're going back to the email. How come when anybody else does a year after their moves, like Daniels, with a double clothesline from the top rope and throwing one on those broke-back mountains out of the ring, how come no one gets on their case? Saban did it previously. Leave Jay Lethal alone. I'm sorry, because Jay Lethal looked like a little kid. Yeah.
He just looks too goofy when he does it. Like I say, Jay Lethal's a good wrestler. Just has no type of character.
The total package, Lex Luger.
Oh, no, he said something in the camera this week. I don't know. On Global Impact, he said something. Didn't know what he said. So,
The total package, Lex Luger. That name makes me laugh after seeing him on last week's Impact. I think that package got lost in the mail and has been lost for some time. If I got FedEx that, I would have returned to sender. But first, I would have hit Luger with one of my own bionic elbows before I returned it.
The epic bionic elbow.
Now moving on to SmackDown. Oh, am I the only one that was happy when JBL interrupted Rey Mysterio? Nope. How seriously did JBL sound when he went, you're not a dog, Rey, you're a Mexican? The Benoit versus Philly match was incredible. It was rare when you see such matches like this. Can someone explain how Finley didn't get DQ'd for throwing chairs in the ring? When Kane did it a few weeks ago, he got DQ'd. I can explain this for you. SmackDown, Raw.
Yeah, Raw is flawed in many ways. The referees, since Earl Hefner left that show, have been really terrible.
No direction. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
You're like, go ahead, go ahead. Anyway, the SmackDown referees are more sophisticated though, and Finley was just enraged. They would have understood not to DQ Kane. Because he didn't hit nobody. That's all I have to say. All
right.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyone notice Taz says that how he rolls quite a few times? Is he taking shots at Christian? Why must Booker T always be shown backstage with a towel? Booker is so angry that he almost couldn't say 5-time WC champion properly. Enjoy the beatdown of the champ and another treat last week. It was better. Was Booker T on commentary this week, the wrestling god? JBL had a great match booking status now. Awesome. I guess Mark Henry would have killed Mysterio if he jumped off the stage and done his bullfrog splash. I have to say that Mark Henry might have killed a couple of people in the crowd because there's no way he could control that much weight going down.
He would have destroyed the ground and the production value of a SmackDown forever.
It would have been a 0.2 earthquake.
Yes.
Once again, thanks for the insightful email.
Thanks to everybody who needs emails. Yes. It's a great email.
Indeed. All right, now moving on, we have another audio clip. This one is from Brad. Brad, you're up.
Hey, guys, it's Brad. I just wanted to leave a message for the show tomorrow before I go to sleep. Just wanted to give you my thoughts on this week's wrestling. Monday night, I thought Raw was great. I really enjoyed the Joey Styles promo. And Shawn Michaels being the special referee. And the Kane and Rob Conley match was great. Shawn Michaels is hilarious. I've always, loved him as the DX and Heartbreak Kid. I remember seeing him at the Royal Rumble in 97. And coincidentally, the Royal Rumble 2007, 10 years later, is going to be back here in San Antonio. But anyway, that's another story. TNA, kind of wondering what the heck they're doing. Did they not learn that, if the WCW guys couldn't beat WWE in their prime, what does TNA management think they're going to do 10 years later? I don't understand it, but who knows? Maybe they know what they're doing, but they need to be worrying more about the younger guys, not the older guys. SmackDown, I thought it was alright. I didn't really watch it too much. I think Finley beating Benoit in the King of the Ring tournament was pretty stupid. Unless they're going to have Benoit go for the main event picture. But the biggest thing I wanted to talk about was Mark Henry. Okay, Kurt Angle's out now with a cracked rib. How many people does Mark Henry have to hurt before they take him out of wrestling? Took out Batista, took out Angle. Ray's hurt, but the only reason Ray's not out getting surgery yet is because he's waiting for Batista to be able to come back, and, Angle needs some time off, and Orton's gone for who knows how long. Undertaker, I guess he's hurt because he hasn't been around much. SmackDown is in serious trouble, and what do? They just keep putting Mark Henry in matches so he can hurt people. Maybe he's doing it intentionally. Who knows? Since he knows that as soon as his contract's up, he's going to get fired, so maybe he's like, okay, well, I'm going to take out whoever I can with me. But So I'm just kind of wondering how much they're going to put up with and keep letting SmackDown suffer before they do something about it. I mean, Mark Henry wouldn't really be a big loss. He's not that entertaining to me. But, you know, those are my opinions. Sorry if this doesn't make much sense. It's about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I just finished up my homework. I'm going to leave the Skype on. Maybe if you guys want to talk before the show or during the show, I'll be here all day or whatnot. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Brad, thanks for the comment. Now, Joey Styles promo. It was a good promo.
Great
I like
promo.
It.
And well-written and shows the creatine can't write promos for nobody, and the wrestlers should be able to write
So I would agree that was entertaining. I also thought, like you said, Shawn Michaels as a special ref was somewhat entertaining, except Shawn for Conway seeing his butt just really disturbed
but all
me.
All I gotta say is this. Shawn Michaels wasn't the greatest special referee of all time. That goes to Steve Austin and his attempts of, I'm diving hard. I'm making these slow counts, though.
And
I go, like, oh, just that close.
And as for that TNA quote that I wanted to say, it came from Brad, as you guys heard. How does TNA expect to beat WWE with WCW stars when WCW stars in their prime could not beat WWE?
That is a great quote, and that's the truth. How are they going to beat it? They don't thought Luger, Steiner, Sting, Jarrett, Scott Steiner. It's just like, they can't do anything with that. That can't be your focus. You have to have Christian and Miz try to carry, or put Christian versus somebody else that's more of a component. Why not feud? I hate this man, Scott Steiner. Mm-hmm. But since he's supposed to be the big guy and most unstoppable, and he's past champion of WCW and whatnot, and he's on roids, why not feud him with Christian? Instead, it's so Sting, team and team against Sting, because we know it's all going to lead to a Sting versus Jarrett one-on-one eventually. Why not just have that one-on-one match now and put your boy, the big bad booty daddy, against Christian?
I don't know. I don't want to see that, though. And also, I would have to disagree with you, Brad. Finley being Benoit is not stupid because it makes sense in the chain of command for people who have to fight. Benoit is about to move on to bigger and better things.
Or he's going to become a tag team champion.
And don't worry, I have not forgot about your Mark Henry. But the next listener's audio comment from Floyd also mentioned something about Mark Henry, so I figure I'll answer that together.
We're going to jumble the whole Mark Henry of killing everybody together.
Yes, so Floyd, we're going to play your comment. After we play his comment, we're going to answer the Mark Henry question.
Two Floyd comments or just one?
It's one. I merged them together.
Okay.
So you're going to hear himself introduce himself twice. And I didn't feel like editing it to the extreme.
You're just lazy.
Indeed. It's Mars. We've been going for an hour and 31 minutes.
Episode of the Sharpshooter.
So, all right, so here's Floyd comment.
Hey, what's up, Sharpies? It's your boy Floyd, man. I just had a couple quick thoughts. I was just watching TNA, man. I love that bit when Christian was doing it on the headset. You know, remind me of Carlito calling this match a few weeks back. And I just have one serious question for you guys to answer. It's about Mark Henry. Now, my thing is, if this guy is hurting people in real life, you know, why do they continue? Why does anybody even work with him? You know what I mean? I mean, why hasn't anybody commented on that? You know, well, peace out and let me know what's up. I'll hit you guys back later. Peace. Hey, Darpies. It's your boy Floyd calling back. I just finished watching SmackDown. Overall, not a bad show, you know, because TNA kind of dulled this week. They decided a bunch of talking. And 42 minutes, so they wasted our weekend, basically. Man, I was impressed on SmackDown. You know, Lashley, it was a great promo. You didn't have to give it up. I love it, man. I'm high. What was the line of the night? You know, when Lashley jumped in Booker T's face and said, now, can you dig that? Sure, but he didn't put a little emphasis on it, but great. Booker T did some great work. And then I think the other launched the line of the night when he was doing commentary, when he said that he was going to, eat him up that Mark Henry was eating him up like a 3-pizza buffet. I was rolling when he said that. But my question is, how the heck can you have your urchin in squats matches being squashed? What the heck is that deal? Now he's going to get squashed again next week by Kali? I don't get it. I mean, you're demeaning the bill, in my opinion. But anyway, you got to love that Finley match. I love the way that ended. you know, great. You know, Finley is believable in that role. Definitely beat Benoit, in my opinion. You know, he's a king of the ring. I mean, that's a true veteran. I think Finley, Regal, those guys, they really don't get the credit they deserve. All right, Sharpies, I'm out of here. Peace.
All right, Floyd, thanks for that comment. Now, before we go into this other things, let's talk about the Mark Henry thing. I don't think that Mark Henry, I think some of these people, he is injuring legitimately, but as for Batista, he was already hurt. He should have been out anyway.
Yeah, but he re-injured. He got injured again.
By wrestling with. I don't think it's about him being unsafe. I just think it's just that it's Mark Henry. As for, I think by having that much weight to throw around, some of these moves, you know, it can happen.
Yeah,
and
I don't know. And he is the world's strongest man.
And the legitimacy of the Kurt Angle injury, I really don't know, for the simple fact that we all know Kurt Angle's been hurting for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, they could just want to put him out of commission. It's just nice that they are putting his whole injury thing into his real gimmick.
Yeah, because he has been known to be injury prone pretty much almost his whole career. And maybe his whole life, because the broken neck in the Olympics and all the whatnots in wrestling, bad neck, arms, he's just really beat up.
So the question is, do we really think that Mark Henry is as dangerous as he's portrayed? I don't think so, personally. I think he's actually...
I think he's a little dangerous. I think he's a little dangerous because he's so big.
I think he's so big. I just think he doesn't have the grace and finesse as the other big guys like Vader and stuff.
Or Bam Bam. And just the problem with Mark Henry is... He does, all his moves seem like it has to put his weight into it. That's what I see. Like the slam he did on Ray, when he goes down and falls down on him with it, his weight falls on 90-pound Rey Mysterio. Maybe 190-pound Rey
Indeed.
Mysterio.
And also, Floyd, I will agree with you when you say that Lashley is improving on his promos. He's making better strides than Shelton Benjamin. At least he's enunciating, unlike Shelton Benjamin.
Shelton stutters, okay, but it's okay sometimes.
I don't know, Marcus.
He's a little jittery.
Okay. I think Lashley, he's doing what you're giving short doses of Lashley. I still might prefer him with a manager, but as what he's doing right now is perfectly fine.
I guess
for
that's
me.
The best he could do because he's just so soft-spoken.
And then the last question that he had, how can a champ be squashed? I have no idea. How can a champ be squashed? How could they lose a title?
I don't know what's going on with champions lately. Look, here's the three main champions. Cena, Christian, and Ray. Ray gets beat up every week.
Really, I agree.
Christian can't hold his title and seems like he's scared.
No, hold on. Christian wins his matches, but he can't keep the title because he let people take it from him.
Yes, because he's afraid of him. Rey Mysterio I'm going to finish with Rey. Rey Mysterio, as brave as he can be, can't beat nobody. And then you got the John Cena.
John Cena is as simple as this. Everybody hates John Cena.
Everybody hates him. He wears a stupid belt. And everybody hates him. And he really has limited wrestling moves. So if you merge all of them together, you can get a good champion.
Well,
if you do some Dragon Ball Z fusion.
I guess. But you know what? I think we have rambled enough on this show. I think this show makes up for the Tuesday show that was short. Oh, no.
No, it went an hour and 10 minutes.
I guess we learned how to ramble. So anyway, let me give out the information before you about to rudely cut me off. Our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail via Skype with the username thesharpshooters or dial the number 310-928-6889. Also, feel free if you want to write a review on iTunes or in Podcast Alley, because remember, the more people that listen to the show, the more insight, more exposure, the more of a community that it becomes.
Yes.
All right.
Nice little twined in the end.
Indeed.
Nice.
All right. Do you have anything else to add?
My closing comments. I have to.
Go ahead, Marcus.
It's short and sweet. The Lakers are chokers. They're no good, and they just blew it against the Phoenix Suns.
Why the hell are you bringing up basketball? This I'm not gonna even acknowledge that by comment.
I'd like
to
thank Amir for writing a review.
Oh, Amir! Yes, Amir. Before I even forget, you did leave a comment on a site, and because we rarely get comments on a site,
Amir didn't do it. It was
I'm sorry, Amir. No, I got it. Okay, hold on. Let me read the comment because I did have this. He says, "Yo, hey, sharpshooters. This is Badre Bally from Egypt. I probably butchered your name, but I am so sorry. I'm a big fan of your shows. I may not agree with everything you say. Who does? You guys rock. We try.
Yes.
I'm more of a fan of Japanese strong style. About Hulk Hogan, you're right about him and a lot of things. However, he's a good wrestler. You just have to see his Japanese matches. He can do some cool submission moves. He's no Bret Hart and Antonio Inoki, but he's a good wrestler. It's just WWE pushed him as a power wrestler only. I've never seen Japanese strong style wrestling. I've actually never seen Japanese wrestling. Only Japanese wrestling I've ever seen is the stuff that they bring over here. As for Hulk Hogan being a submission specialist, I have to see it to believe it.
Well, that's why his DVD, hopefully, his DVD will speculate on more of a broad clear than punch, punch, push down, arm bar, scraping the eyes, scratching the back, body slam, leg drop, boot. And that would be nice. And another comment. Yeah, it's good that you don't always agree with us all the time. Because if everybody agreed with us in the world, this would be no show.
Just think of
this
me.
Would be, oh, yes, I agree.
Listen,
I agree.
Me and Marcus don't agree with each other half the time. I can't stand him.
Ouch.
I just chopped him. No,
ouch,
no,
that
just,
hurts.
No, it did. That was a pussy chop.
No, not the chop. You can't stand me. I'm hurt in many different levels.
You can't stand me.
You can't
stand
me.
Anyway, that's enough for our rambling.
I actually had a closing comment, for real. It wasn't about the Lakers. I just remembered it. The closing comment was this. Check out a Charlie Haas versus Aki, I think that's his name, match on Heat. It was a really good Heat match. And normally I say, stay away from Heat. But this was a good match. And it showed Charlie Haas and Aki's talent. Aki, it was formerly with that guy, you know, he was in the Japanese clan on SmackDown. I don't remember what they really did. They didn't accomplish much. But he's a good wrestler, and it was a good match. They returned. It was a nice little match.
Until WWE makes Heat and Velocity viewable on the Mac, I will not watch an episode of Heat and Velocity.
By the way, the main event for Heat and Velocity this week, Orlando Jordan versus Matt Hardy. I'm curious.
How is TNA able to go cross-platform? But the damn WWE is not. I'm just upset.
They're trying to go for the majority market.
Remember, it's not only Windows people out there. Love the new Apple commercials. That's great. And the Lakers, it's game 7. Anything can happen. But I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus. Oh, should I have paused this time? No, I shouldn't.
Grand Finale! I'm really getting sick of him.
Of course.
I'm going to start doing tryouts for somebody else to be a co-host on this show.
No, you can't. Come on, Eric. Come on.
Anyway, we're the sharpshooters.
I'll put on that tape.
Like, Marcus will be the permanent co-host forever. Like I said, we're the Sharpshooters. This was episode 67. We'll see you guys for episode 68 next week. Not the sequel, but
prequel
for the Sharpshooters.
The trilogy of it.
The epic battle between podcasting and wrestling.
Good versus evil.
Cena versus
the world.
Yes. All right, see you guys next week. Because we are the king of all kings. We'll